Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your pocket.
Yep, we're getting inside your pocket now with Dr. Roelof Botha. He's an economist, and this is to help us unpack new data that has been released by JCICT-listed group Altron, and Altron FinTech specifically, which actually has taken a look at the overall health and ability of South African households and how it is that we've managed to service our debt. Has it improved, or are there pressure points? Dr. Botha, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
I'm excited for this conversation because the truth is many of us have been feeling the pinch, and it's an open discussion that we're happy to have. But the assumption is that with the recent interest rate cuts, even access to our two-pot system, that many South Africans have breathed a sigh of relief. Is that true in terms of our debt repayments?
The two-pot system certainly gave an opportunity for many South Africans to handle their, manage their debt a lot better, and obviously simultaneously allow them to buy some furniture and appliances. If you look at the latest retail figures, which shot up ever since the two-pot system came into place.
Got you. So it is a two-part system that has added some money into our back pockets, but there's several metrics that you also took a look at within this particular report that gives us an idea of our sources of income and how this has provided a level of leeway and flexibility. Maybe talk us through the report that will indulge in some of the key factors in terms of the health of our pockets.
Yes, it's called the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index. And it captures 20 different indicators, which all of them directly or indirectly affect the disposable income of households in real terms after adjustment for inflation. All the indicators are expressed in real terms, the composite index. The two-pot system, which found its way into the indicator called long-term insurance surrenders, shot up by 35% year-on-year, rounded off, which is totally unnatural. This the last time anything, previous time something like this happened was with the Marikana event, a tragedy, and it obviously related to the two-pot system. Now I'm hoping that people that did dip into that their savings on that occasion, whatever they did with that money, some probably relieved their debt, some bought some stuff, maybe a new second-hand car, to put it that way. But I'm hoping that these people are relatively highly skilled people, and that they realize that they were going to have to work a little bit longer to replenish that, because it looks good on the Altron FinTech Index in the short term because it gives you more money to spend. But in the long term, it's not a very wise decision. But one needs to find a balance between the two. But the index itself increased by 2%, 2.1% year on year, also 2% quarter on quarter. It looks good on paper. But that was mainly fueled by increased employment in the private sector and increased real salaries in the private sector, which was very welcome after a long absence.
Dr. Botha, looking at these numbers, and it almost seems as though South African consumers, had we not had access to a portion of our two-pot retirement, we would have found ourselves still under immense financial pressure. Is that a safe assumption to make?
Yes, I'd like to qualify that a little bit. We have had, prior to the publication of the Altron FinTech Index was published on the same day that we had another interest rate hike, but we have to deal with third quarter data because we have to wait for data from the South African Reserve Bank. They're a bit slow sometimes and overly restrictive with their monetary policy as far as I'm concerned. But there was some relief. But I'd like to quote Johan directly, the MD, Managing Director of Altron FinTech, when he says that this index, as well as other indices like the Better Bond Index of Home Loan Applications, shows us that South African households remain under considerable pressure, and it's really necessary to lower rates further. I think several people were hoping for a 50 basis point reduction, and now that our bond yield has jumped for only the third time in our democratic history by more than 180 basis points in the space of 24 hours, we have some problems to contend with, but hopefully capital markets will have a look at the expropriation law and have a look at all the stuff Mr. Trump says, and then come to the conclusion that all is well in South Africa. As a previous guest on your program said, we have not only because of our presidency of the G20, but there's so much business confidence in South Africa now that we have a government of national unity. Virtually all the reputable research agencies are pointing to between 1 and 3%, somewhere in between growth this year, which is better than the more or less zero we had last year due to the high interest rate. So the interest rate cuts have certainly helped everybody, quite frankly, but it's not enough. We need a lot more interest rate reductions to get us on a strong growth path.
100%. And speaking of that growth path, maybe you can indulge us on the factors that should be considered by government, by business, to actually bolster positive economic growth in South Africa for our benefit as consumers.
Well, the number one priority would be to lower the cost of capital, not credit. And I just want to inform the listeners that I'm wondering how many of them can remember what South Africa's prime overdraft rate was before COVID, beginning of 2020. Now, the prime overdraft rate is, of course, the benchmark lending rate. That is what most people pay on their mortgage loans. Some of them are lucky enough to pay, or their income is sufficient that they can convince their banks that they're not a credit risk, and they may be paying prime minus half a percent or prime minus 1%, even some pay more than prime. So let me give you the answer. It was 10%. And inflation, and this is very important, inflation was 5%. So the real cost of credit, in other words, your interest rate minus inflation, because most people's salaries tend to increase more or less by inflation, the real interest rate is actually what we need to look at, and that was 5%. Today in 2025 in South Africa, the prime rate is 11%. I think most people know that. And the inflation rate is 3%. So our real prime rate has increased to 8%. This is the highest in the world. I find it absolutely unbelievable that the Monetary Policy Committee has allowed this to happen. Because in Jill Marcus's tenure, when she was governor of the Reserve Bank, in her 5-year tenure, the average real prime rate of South Africa was only 3.1%. The Monetary Policy Committee of the Reserve Bank, as far as I'm concerned, has lost the plot. We need lower rates much further. But there's also additional policies that we can pursue, cracking on the Logistics Crisis Committee to broaden and expand and improve our harbor efficiency, fix some roads, please, and then get into some economic diplomacy. Don't pick a fight with the strongest, most influential economy in the world by siding with states like Iran, Cuba, etc., that are guilty of gross human rights violations, that do not have democratic constitutions. We need to choose our friends a lot more carefully, as far as I'm concerned.
Got you. Doctor, we have 5 more meetings left this year for the MPC. They've already cut interest rates by 25 basis points, but they do say risks to inflation are on the upside. According to what you've just described, by how much further could potentially cut interest rates for the benefit of South African consumers?
Well, on the fundamentals, if you look at our public finances, public debt GDP ratio of just about 70%, it's more or less in line with the average of our major trading partners, including emerging markets. We have fundamental fiscal stability. We've got a primary budget surplus. Our balance of payments recorded a... we hit 2 trillion rands worth of exports last year for the 3rd year running. Our finances are in good spot. So they can, theoretically, they can lower interest rates by at least to that real interest rate level. So what I'm trying to say is that the prime overdraft rate should actually be 8%. I'm serious. It should be 8%. So they have a lot of leeway. But the 180 basis point increase in our 10-year bond yield in the last 24 hours as a result of Trump's remarks on the expropriation bill and other stuff. That is going to really put a spanner in the works. And unless the bond yield, that unless the bond yield declines back to levels of about between 9% and 10%, we are not going to see another interest rate decline, and that would be a tragedy as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. Yeah, we can't ignore these geopolitics. It has huge ramifications. And as you say, we do need to be wise about how we manage our diplomatic relationships, because ultimately there is an economic cost to politics. Dr. Buerta, a great pleasure having you with us, and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you. That is Dr. Roelof Buerta. He is an economist giving us an update on the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index, which does show that if it wasn't for the slight reprieve we had in interest rates last year, many of us would still be struggling. But beyond that, there are bigger exogenous factors that are at play that do impact the influence that it has on our pockets. And most importantly, the health of our finances as South African consumers. Lots to consider, especially where the U.S. is concerned.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.